Hello and welcome to this Clinical Care Options Infectious Disease Podcast. I'm your host, Robin Black. This episode features content from an educational online module titled RSV in Older Adults, Identification and Impact. During this podcast, Dr. Dexter Wiseman, Clinical Research Fellow at the NHLI Imperial College London, NHS Doctor at the Royal Brompton Hospital in London, discusses RSV in older adults, including risk factors for poor outcomes, symptoms, and diagnostics. For more information about Dr. Wiseman and for a link to the full online educational program, including downloadable slides, please visit the link in the show notes for this episode. Now let's get started and hear what Dr. Wiseman has to say about RSV in older adults.
Hello and welcome. My name is Dexter Wiseman. I'm an NHS doctor at the Royal Brompton Hospital in London and a clinical research fellow at the NHLI Imperial College London. Thank you very much for taking the time to watch this pre-recorded lecture, which is number 2 of 3. This short talk is going to be regarding RSV identification and impact amongst older adults. During this talk, we'll discuss risk factors for poor outcomes in RSV, including comorbidities and age, symptoms of RSV infection, and symptoms of RSV as compared to other common respiratory viruses, diagnostics, and some of the issues involved when the diagnosis of RSV in older adults, including a very much related point, but one that needs looking into more detail, why there is reluctance in diagnosis, and why diagnosis is important. I will then move on to discuss community outcomes and RSV versus flu in relation to the severity of outcomes. Risk factors for poor outcomes in RSV. Before discussing the risk factors for poor outcomes, I'll just touch on what we mean by a poor outcome in RSV. Severe or poor outcomes in RSV include pneumonia, hospitalization, an exacerbation of an underlying condition, and death. The presence of underlying comorbidities, including chronic cardiac or pulmonary disease, diabetes, severe immunosuppression, or solid organ tumors, can predispose elderly individuals to a severe RSV infection and poor outcome. Looking at the table, this shows data from a 2004 study where RSV was investigated over 4 consecutive winters. They evaluated all respiratory illnesses in 2 prospective cohorts of healthy elderly patients over the age of 65 and in high-risk adults, those with chronic heart or lung diseases, also in patients over 65 hospitalized with acute cardiopulmonary conditions. RSV infection and influenza A was diagnosed using culture, reverse transcriptase PCR, and serology. The cohort of the hospitalized adults over 65 with underlying chronic cardiac or pulmonary disease included 1,388 participants, and the prospective elderly cohort of healthy individuals included 608 participants. RSV was responsible for 11.4% of COPD admissions and 7.2% of asthma admissions in those over 65. A more recent systemic review and meta-analysis was conducted in 2020. This included up to 20 studies, all from industrialized countries. Annual incidence of RSV acute respiratory infection was estimated to be 37.6 per 1,000 patients in those with comorbidities, and there was an 11.7 mortality rate in this population. Age. Aging is an independent risk factor for poor outcomes in RSV infection. Older adults are also more likely to have comorbidities. A study investigating hospitalizations in older adults caused by RSV by Jane was published in the New England Journal of Medicine recently. This was an active surveillance study for participants aged 18 and over admitted with a radiological diagnosis of pneumonia from 5 US-based hospitals. They included 2,488 participants. The estimated rate of RSV-associated community-acquired pneumonia in adults was 0.8 cases per 10,000 persons per year in the 50 to 64-year age group, 2.5 cases per 10,000 persons per year in the 65 to 79-year age group, and 5 cases per 10,000 persons per year in the over 80s age group. This was radiologically diagnosed pneumonia and did not include milder illnesses. The graph on the right also highlights just how common RSV is as a cause of pneumonia in older adults. And in the majority of no admissions, no co-infections were detected. As mentioned earlier, chronic lung disease is a risk factor for poor outcomes in RSV in older adults. RSV replicates in the respiratory tract. It is known to cause inflammation of the respiratory tract, and it is also known to cause exacerbations of COPD. As the graph at the bottom shows, continued exacerbations of COPD cause a long-term decline in lung function. The picture on the right describes some of the findings of a challenge study in adults aged 18 to 50, so not older adults, but it does show persistent lower airways inflammation seen long after RSV inoculation and the symptoms have subsided. Participants had a bronchoscopy performed 14 days before RSV inoculation, and then 7 to 10 days and 28 days post-inoculation. Symptom scores peaked on day 7 post-inoculation, and nearly all subjects complained of upper airway symptoms, but hardly any of lower airway symptoms. Most of these symptoms had abated by day 10 to 12. Even when feeling well and the symptoms had subsided, inflammation was noted macroscopically in the lower airways on bronchoscopy, and RSV was isolated from bronchial brushings. Chronic heart failure is another risk factor for poor outcomes in RSV. Estimated survival during the year following a RSV-related admission was significantly poorer amongst those with advanced age, pneumonia during hospitalization, or presence of chronic heart failure and chronic heart failure exacerbations. RSV is known to increase certain inflammatory markers such as interleukin-6, interleukin-1 beta, and tumor necrosis factor alpha. It also promotes a hypercoagulable state and plaque destabilization. This therefore increases both the mortality and healthcare utilization in cardiac disease and heart failure patients. The graph on the right is a survival curve from a study published in 2020 investigating survival after an admission caused by RSV in those over the age of 60. This was a study investigating over 600 RSV-associated admissions. With this graph, it is clear that survival drops amongst those with chronic heart failure, and especially amongst those with chronic heart failure having had an exacerbation of their disease while an inpatient, for example, needing extra diuretics or fluid management. But does RSV incur as high a mortality in older adults as influenza? This very interesting study directly compares RSV admissions to influenza-associated admissions. This population was hospitalized adults over the age of 60 from Southern California. The study included 645 RSV-associated admissions and 1,800 influenza-associated admissions. RSV infection was associated with greater odds of length of stay for more than 7 days, pneumonia, intensive care admissions, exacerbation of COPD, and greater mortality within 1 year of admission. The graph on the right is the one-year survival rate comparing RSV to influenza amongst this hospitalized cohort. The RSV admissions were slightly older, with a median age of 77.5 versus 77.4 for the influenza-associated admissions. Chronic heart failure, COPD and asthma, and cancer were more common in the RSV cohort. But as you can see, at 1 year, the survival rate for influenza stands at 81.2%, whereas it's 74.2% for the RSV-associated admissions. Symptoms and diagnostics. RSV is indistinguishable from other viral illnesses symptomatically in the community. Community RSV symptoms can't be clinically differentiated from other common respiratory viruses. This was highlighted in Koos Korsen's recent Older Adults Community-Based RSV study. A US-based study summarized the outpatient symptoms of RSV as nasal congestion, cough and sputum production, with dyspnea, fever and wheeze being less common. Note how similar these are to the influenza symptoms. This graph shows viral symptoms from community-dwelling adults from the Influence 65 trial. This included over 36,000 adults from North America, Europe and East Asia. Looking across at the table, influenza, metapneumovirus, rhinovirus and coronavirus, all of the symptoms are pretty similar. This potentially more detailed symptom list found cough, fatigue, nasal congestion, and headache to be the most common in RSV. According to the Zoe COVID study in the UK, which is an app-based study asking people to enter their symptoms after a positive COVID-19 test, the most common symptoms of COVID-19 include all of those symptoms in the top 10 for RSV as well. Diagnosing RSV in older adults. Having reviewed the symptoms of RSV, it's clear that a clinical diagnosis of RSV is not possible due to the similarities with other viral illnesses. On top of this, in adults, there is a lack of incentive to diagnose RSV amongst the medical community, as no dedicated treatment currently exists. There are some studies that have showed rivaroxaban to help, but only in very specific circumstances. This means that many cases, especially those from primary care, will go undiagnosed. There is also the issue of the relatively high cost of PCR analysis, and this will affect developing countries specifically. Together, this highlights why further research regarding RSV in adults is so important to get a full understanding of the prevalence. The National Foundation for Infectious Diseases in the USA calls RSV the hidden annual epidemic. There is evidence to support this underdiagnosis. A paper by Binder et al. Titled RSV in Adult ED Patients, Do Emergency Providers Consider RSV as an Admission Diagnosis, looked into this. It was an observational study investigating all adult inpatients aged over the age of 19 that had a positive RSV swab ordered within 48 hours of their hospital admission. The median age was 66.5 years old. Over a 7-year study period, 295 participants were positive for RSV during their hospital stay, but only 36% had a diagnosis of RSV considered on their admission in ED. RSV was not considered in most cases where it was eventually diagnosed. This included in high-risk patients, such as those that were immunocompromised or those with COPD and chronic heart failure. There are some practical issues when it comes to diagnosis of RSV in older adults. The viral load in adults is lower than when infants have an RSV-associated infection, which can be one of the reasons PCR and point-of-care testing appears to be less sensitive in adults when compared to children. Using a combination of viral PCR along with serological methods will increase the rate of RSV diagnosis and allow for retrospective diagnosis of cases when respiratory swabs could not be collected within the window of the acute infection. The main issue with this method is that you need pre-illness serum to make a comparison, so it's only really in research settings when this can be utilized. Emerging evidence, however, does show that the newest point-of-care testing methods have a similar positivity rate to PCR in older adults, as demonstrated in the graph on the right. As there are currently no specific treatments for RSV and no vaccine, people will often ask, why is RSV diagnosis important? There are a few reasons it is currently important to diagnose RSV in older adults. There's the spread of the virus within care facilities. Barrier nursing and isolation may be appropriate. This is already standard practice on pediatric wards. There's also the realization that there can be poor outcomes. If an older adult with RSV and COPD or chronic heart failure is admitted, they may warrant a higher degree of observation as they have the potential to become very unwell and there's not an insignificant mortality attached. You may also consider follow-up of the patients or safety netting of these known at-risk groups. So in recap, the main risk factors for RSV are increasing age, chronic heart or lung disease, immunosuppression, and solid organ tumors. Diagnostics for RSV are not always undertaken. RSV is impossible to identify just on symptoms alone, but it is important to identify cases. Outcomes for RSV are at least as severe as for influenza, and RSV is likely underestimated in older adults.
Thank you very much to Dr. Wiseman, and thank you to our listeners for joining in. As a reminder, to view the full program, click on the link in the show notes for this episode. And please be sure to check back regularly for more episodes on important infectious disease topics. Thank you.